This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Greetings, I am Barry. If you're searching for answers, spiritual help, clairvoyant readings, healings, crystals, books, incense, or jewellery, you need to go to Infinity, Hamilton Spiritual Centre, in the new premises at 550 Anglesey Street. Or you can phone us on 838 1838. This is your link between this life and the next. Become the change the world needs today. Greetings, I am Barry. This is the voice within. Well, here we are in November already. Be Christmas soon, we could have some nuts. That's an old saying. Now, Lee Harris, of course, will be doing his monthly energy update.
Hello everyone, welcome to the energy update for November. I am Lee and every month I take the pulse on what might be showing up for us energetically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. Three of the themes I'm going to focus on this month are the amplification of the mystic and mystical experiences, the speed of this multidimensional chrysalis transformation that we're all in, and revelations and reckonings around human health. Those are just three of the themes that we're going to be looking at in the update this month, so stay tuned for the full update. Hello everyone, welcome to November. We are almost at the end of 2025, a year that feels like it has gone so fast, right? For so many of us, I'm sure there are some of you who do not feel that way, but certainly the energetics and the speed of everything has been very interesting on a metaphysical level, and we're going to look at quite a bit of that today. Today's update is going to focus a little more on some of what's going on the higher dimensions and what's going on energetically, although I will touch on the human story playing out as well. But I actually have 9 themes this month, so I'm going to get to it because usually we only have 8. So theme number 1, we are in a multidimensional chrysalis as a world right now. We are in a multidimensional chrysalis as a world right now. And the message around this is notice how fast you can change things, energy, experiences, and events. The gift of the chrysalis is speed. So a multidimensional chrysalis, if you think of a traditional chrysalis, it's when you are transforming from one state of being or one physical being into another. It's a metamorphosis process. And we know that on Earth right now, we are going through an elongated metamorphosis process. It isn't happening overnight in terms of seeing the kinds of changes that are beginning to come in. But what is happening is on an internal level, things are becoming very refined, very deep, and very fast. So a multidimensional chrysalis, why those two words together? When I received this theme, I was shown very clearly that we all need to remember that there is a lot happening all at once, all at the same time. And our point of focus can't be everywhere all at once. We have to focus on either what's in front of us or whatever issue is in our life. We will feel called to where we place our focus. But what you may have noticed, many of you, is how fast everything is getting. And I don't mean how many emails or, you know, how much information we get through the computer now compared to the old days. I don't mean that. I'm talking about the energetics that you'll be feeling at a psychic level, at a heart level, at a level of healing. So this multidimensional chrysalis means on any given day, you might go through 9 really significant things that 10 years ago, you would have maybe gone through 3 of those, and that would have been enough. But the energy frequency that so many of us are calibrating to right now is crystalline, which is very fast. Crystalline energy, the crystalline body, it's beginning to be accessible to more of us than ever before. And crystalline is a very fine energy, and like crystals, it works in the way of transmission and also being a conduit. So a crystal is a transmitter, and you and we are becoming transmitters in more unencumbered ways than we used to be. So as you awaken, as you ascend, as you get more in touch with the fact that this is actually a spiritual realm as well as a human realm, this isn't just planet Earth with humans and other beings on the planet doing their thing. There is a spiritual realm that's running through all of it and guiding us and feeding it every single day. More of you will start to notice the multidimensionality of life. And this is very important as it relates to one of our themes that I'm going to get to later. The traditional way that we are trained as humans is to see things through a very logical, practical, linear lens, to put things in boxes. Boxes don't exist where spiritual truth is concerned. There is no such thing as a box. On Earth, there are many boxes. And sometimes those boxes have been helpful. They've helped us find our identity. But most of the time, those boxes are unhelpful. It's someone telling you who you are in a very limiting way, and you're thinking, oh, actually, I don't see myself that way, but they've decided, and that's the only way they can possibly see you. And usually any projection like that that comes from another person says a lot more about the person's energy field than it does about you. So you yourself might be really changing the way that you're experiencing everything, relationships, your physical health, your physical body, where you live, what's going on in your life. And it doesn't mean that those things have to change, but it will mean that you're having a radically different experience of those things or those relationships. There are times in our life and moments in our life where we become vibrationally de-aligned with a person, a place, a thing. We've gone as far as we are supposed to go in that relationship, perhaps, or in that engagement with a place or a work or a whatever it is. But then there are so many other times that we don't talk about quite as much, and we should, where you transform within the circumstance. And as you transform within the circumstance, and you don't have to leave, and someone doesn't have to leave you, everyone gets the opportunity to transform with you. So you become an emitter of this multidimensional possibility. The world is multidimensional, and our actual potential as humans is to be able to live in a more multidimensional way than most of us have ever been allowed to live before. That's where we are right now as a world. In this moment in time, the incoming energies, the influx of energy and the influx of higher consciousness is basically drawing us up and out of our limited human gravity and allowing us to reconnect with our soul selves. And there are more and more of us than ever before who are able to live in this, walk with this, be in this. Doesn't mean you won't regress. It doesn't mean you won't pop down into some of your human stuff, because that's quite normal. As we ascend and as we grow, as we open, we often then come up against whatever's in the way or whatever's stuck. We get the opportunity when we take a few steps forward to check our shoes, check our ankles, see if we've got any scrapes or wounds from the past that can't come with us into the future timeline. So we give them a little attention. That might look like you feeling really crabby one day or feeling really upset or not quite sure why you're crying. And these purges happen in response to the fact that we're awakening. So I'm going to go back to this message. Notice how fast you can change things, energy, experiences, and events. The gift of the chrysalis is speed. I've spoken to a few different people over recent weeks who are experiencing this. I know I have myself. And I actually, for me, I had to adjust my mind around it and not see it as a problem. More to go, wow, I could never have lived at this speed 3 years ago. So there is an adjustment in the animalistic side of us, the part of us that is a, as a friend of mine would say, a mammal body. that needs to rewire itself as our energy changes. So we are in a multidimensional chrysalis. So the very energetic among you, you'll feel very busy right now. You'll be very busy with everything that's going on inside you, or perhaps you're playing this transformation out by immersing yourself in external things. But notice how fast you can change things. So if you catch your mind going, oh, I wish this was different, or oh, this is really annoying, snap out of it. It's okay to feel sorry for yourself for a minute, but do not forget your power. Do not forget your power. We're all tapped in to an intelligence and a power far bigger than us. But when you tap into it, it actually enlivens and changes you and allows you to maneuver things in your life without even knowing that you're doing it. So try and catch any old parts of your mind right now, or any old statements, and see if any of them want to be updated. The way I tend to notice it is that something will come out of my mouth or a sentence, and I'll feel it's a bit off, and I'll be like, oh. It will be my feeling that will alert me to the fact that I just used some old words that are not going to come with me into the future. My way of describing something is no longer going to be that. So it's fast. It's a multidimensional transformation chrysalis. But notice how fast you can actually change things that you want to, and really sit in that power and knowing, and ask yourself, huh, if there are things I want to change in my life, why am I not intending for that to happen and asking the universe to help me? Why do I want to more sit in my story of pain and sadness and tell all my friends that story? Because we know that story doesn't feel good. So there is an opportunity, not just this month, but in this period of the year and in the coming months, to really harness this ability to fast break chains and ties to what has gone on before. Okay. Theme number two. Now, we are currently doing initiation. We just started, initiation will be running through November if you want to join us. But there was something that came out in the channeled message yesterday. So initiation is a channeled mystery school. Every Wednesday, I go live with the Z's for normally an hour to 75 minutes. They'll channel a message that I don't know what it's going to be. And one of the things that came out yesterday, because they were really talking in the first broadcast all about how energy works and about how we create our reality, how it works energetically, how it works with the human mind, what we're moving through as we do it. And there was something they said that really struck me that I wanted to share here. Miracles are simply magnetic changes on the timeline. Miracles are simply magnetic changes on the timeline. So the message here is we're learning about how energy works as a world. And as we do, miraculous possibilities become available. So I think probably like many of you, I grew up seeing a miracle as divine intervention or something that came from out there that we were blessed with. And what we're actually learning is in order to receive a miracle, you have to be in vibrational alignment to it. So the old way would have been sit and pray for a miracle and hope for the best and hope someone out there will help you. The new way is I'm going to bring my energy field to a place of such aliveness and light as much as I am possible, as much as is possible for me to do today. And I'm going to keep doing that. And eventually my life will start to feel and become more miraculous. Not because of any reason other than the fact that you've tapped into the bigger than yourself. And the bigger than yourself bestows bigger than yourself. It bestows the right person at the right time. It bestows some kind of blessing of abundance just when you need it. It bestows the group that you're supposed to spend time with. So miracles are simply magnetic changes on the timeline. If you like that idea, let that be a motivation to you to really start working with your spirit and your light. And I think in our everyday world, it can be hard to do that sometimes. You know, I was very much a closet spiritual person for, I don't know, probably about the first 5 years of my spirituality, apart from the few friends I had who also were into it. And then I was a closet channeler for a few years. So there will be those of you, many of you, I'm sure, where there are people in your life you can't talk to about this because they haven't experienced it. So, you know, skepticism or disbelief is based on non-experience. It's that simple. And the difference perhaps between you and a judgmental skeptic or judgmental non-believer is you probably wouldn't try and tell someone else that their version of reality was wrong. You'd probably just go, oh, okay, well, that's where they're living. It's not where I'm living, but okay. So it's definitely time for those of you who are wanting to live more of a spiritual life, even if that's part-time, you know, you're spending a bit of time each day connecting with your soul or meditating, but you're starting to include a spiritual relationship in your daily life because you want to see the habit-forming effect of doing that regularly. Don't be surprised if you're a little less tolerant of the judges in your life. I definitely have compassion for people who are angry about spirituality or wounded about it or who want to attack other people for because they're in a horrible place. Nobody who is that judgmental is in a good place. They're in a horrible place. However, I also have a boundary as to what's allowed in my personal life. And that boundary is very much around if you are judging someone else's reality or pushing against who someone is, you're not a friend. You're not a friend. And so the reason I'm saying this is I've got an image of those of you who tune in on this, having difficult conversations this month with a few people in your life who perhaps their negative attitude is something that it's hard for you to still be around. And again, it doesn't mean you have to break up with the person or the spouse, but it does mean that you have to bring yourself into the room a bit more. One of the problems with keeping things in the closet around your spirituality or anything else is that it's hard for you to change anything when you're hiding something. But the minute you stop hiding and you bring yourself forward, your energy signature goes into the room. Your truth goes into the room and it affects the room. And so many more people are capable of change than we realize. This has come up a lot through the energy updates the last 2 years. I have witnessed evidence of this in my own life, in people I work with, in people I know. More people than ever before are actually wanting to be in touch with something greater than themselves, whatever that looks like or whatever name that has. So you may have kept your mouth shut towards this judgmental person for the last few years because you got tired of the argument, or you may have made a decision. You might say, oh, well, he's never into this and he's always so judgy if I say anything. He may have changed. You don't know what's happened to him in the 2 years since you had the conversation. So give him credit and give him or her or whoever it is or they the opportunity to meet you. And if they don't meet you, that's great information. I have no problem with people not meeting me, but I'm not very tolerant these days of someone who wants to push against me. I did a lot of that when I was younger, when I was more wounded. I don't need to play that game anymore. And that's a state that you need to get to, because what it does is it also helps the other person free that energy in themselves. They're running it towards you because they're allowed. But if you have a conversation with them that says, hey, you know, I don't need you to believe what I believe, but if you love me, you wouldn't judge and attack me for something that I'm telling you is an aspect of who I am. I'm not doing that to you. So why are you doing that to me? Do you know? Ask them questions about why they are saying these things, because they are probably doing it unconsciously. So if we ask someone a question about what they say, they have to think about it. A really good thing to do, and this is helpful because usually we're shocked if someone says something difficult to us. If someone says something a little outrageous to you and you're a bit shocked, the best thing you can do usually is to say to them, sorry, I'm not sure I understood you. Can you just say that again? Usually the person will not say it again in the exact same way. Usually when I've done that to people, if they've come in a bit harsh with something, they slightly back up or they slightly soften it. And what's happened in that moment is you've kind of brought them to awareness. So it's okay for you to bring people in your close life. Maybe you're not going to bother with someone you just meet in the street and it doesn't matter. But people who are close to you, Watch the hygiene of how you let people speak to and treat you, especially if you are someone who is a believer in treating others well. Notice where you're sending that out, but perhaps allowing in not so good, because guess what? That's going into you. That's coming into you. So first of all, we clean up the side of us that goes, wow, why am I so used to being spoken to in such a belittling way? When did I develop that? How am I going to let that go? But equally, you have to boundary it from the outside. So many of you, I think, are going to be working on that issue in the coming month. Okay. Theme number three, dissolving the grip of the mind. Why there is no right answer once you ascend. To be ascended is to be sensory rather than mental. So, you know, I think for many of us, and I know this is true for me, for the longest time, I often felt like I needed to understand things, you know, to allow myself to either feel them or be with them. And the beauty of spirituality and getting in touch with whatever you see it as, a higher power, God, source energy, whatever definition it takes for you, beyond the self, the mind starts to crumble in its certainty. The mind starts to no longer be as sure about anything because the mind is no longer allowed to be as in charge. You have a higher mind now. You have a higher heart now. You have an open intuition and third eye now. You have an open throat chakra. You're clearing all of your body. You're clearing all of your energy field so that what was past can remain past and you can move forward. So dissolving the grip of the mind, why there is no right answer once you ascend. Someone else's truth does not have to be yours. And the fact that they believe that their truth is the only truth, that tells you what a limited world they're living in. They're living in a very small world. They're living in their box. They're in the box. So this goes back to, I think, relationships with other people. You know, there might be people who want to tell you, this is how it is. This is the answer. That does not exist in a multidimensional world. There is an answer there, and there is another answer there, and it depends on your perspective. It depends on what you're experiencing. So this level of certainty of the mind has actually been very helpful around societal control. And as societal control is going through a real reckoning moment right now, it's up right now. As we start to move through the breakdown of that over these coming years, so too will the righteousness of the mind start to lose its power. And there's nothing wrong with it losing its power, provided it's now sourcing its power from something greater than the mind, including the mind, but far greater than the mind. So something for you to sit with in terms of your relationships with others who might want to be right, and also your own relationship to things that you may have previously held as very staunch values. And suddenly you're like, oh, wow, I no longer believe that. Letting go of beliefs can sometimes be a little emotional or a little complex because the belief that we created in the past probably protected us, probably kept us safe, probably got us to here. So we don't have to be angry at old beliefs that we no longer feel are serving us now. Instead, we thank them. We thank ourselves for creating a construct that got us from there to here. But now we're here, we're going somewhere else, and something else is about to happen. So, okay, the last part of that was to be ascended is to be sensory rather than mental. I've always said, you know, occasionally people will say to me, oh, you'll really like them, they're spiritual. And I always say, what kind of spiritual? Because, you know, spiritual people are also human. And so humans are humans. And, you know, I've always said that I would much rather be stuck in an elevator with a kind, open-hearted person who is an atheist and doesn't believe in anything spiritual, or versus a person who is closed, wounded, but knows a lot of spiritual information. To me, the first person is far safer and far more spiritual. The second person is in spiritual ego, which you see a lot. And again, nothing wrong with it. It's just where people are at. But unless you get down into the senses, unless you allow yourself to go into the body, unless you heal, you aren't going to get there. You aren't going to get to the place you say you want to get to with your information. So to be ascended is to be sensory rather than mental. Your senses, your feelings, this is what we're bringing back online, not more information. We don't need more information. We need more experience in this realm. So, okay, theme number 4 fits with this too, actually. Healing sweep energy moving in. Healing sweep energy moving in. So there's going to be a lot of quick healings going on right now. A fast dislodging of that which is calcified. A fast dislodging of that which is calcified. So meaning something in you that's been there for years or perhaps for lifetimes that has just sat there inside you. Maybe it hasn't even been bothering you. It's just kind of there. But you're going to see something release. You're going to feel something release. There's a great availability right now around fast healing energies. So the old stuff will release fast. Don't resist it with fear. Allow it. Breathe through it. Use your practices. So the reason that that sentence is important, you will be potentially releasing a lot of fast old stuff right now. Fast releasing old stuff, excuse me. But you can resist that with fear of it. You can resist it with fear of facing something from the past. Usually what we're afraid of is the future. We're not afraid of what haunts us in the past. We're afraid of the unknown future we might move into if we let go of this thing. If we change our energy field so much that our timeline changes and our vibrational resonance changes, a lot of change is going to play out in our life. And if we don't think we're capable of handling change or we feel a little nervous about it, we'll hold on to the wounds. Might be true for you. Might be true for you to hold on to some of those wounds. But I'm going to challenge you to really question that this month, because I think there will be some moments that will come up for you that might be really old healing. And just notice if you allow it to happen versus if you get scared and shut it down, or if you get scared of a feeling that's rising. And if you are scared of your own feelings, it's time to learn to work with your feelings. Move your body more if you're sitting a lot. If you're not really moving, generally people need to move, whether that's physical exercise or whether it's going for a walk or whether it's dancing around your house, but also to have practices, whether it's meditation, breath work, whatever it is that's going to work for you and unlock the door. A space that you can create for yourself where you can actually allow yourself out from the inside, because we as a society have not been trained in that. So many of us have learned from the people who taught. Some of us now hand that on. That's the baton that we're now in the relay race. Those of us who teach these things to others. But all of us as human beings, whatever role you have in your work, we're all learning it. We're all going through it together. So there is a healing sweep energy moving in. Fast dislodging of that which is calcified. The old will release fast. Don't resist it with fear. If you feel fear, sit, allow yourself to feel, breathe, use your practices, or find practices. This is a message for those of you who feel a bit unequipped listening to this. Go and find some practices that will allow you to feel your body, your energy field, your nervous system, kind of make friends with that and a bit less friends with the mind and with information. That's overrated, especially right now. Okay, number 5. Rushes of love, gratitude, and wonder. Rushes of love, gratitude, and wonder. This will be very available throughout the coming months as part of the ascension process. So, you know, part of the deal with the healing and the letting go and all the stuff that we go through is as you lighten up, you start to see the miracle of life a little more. And even in very challenging times in your life, once you've developed that relationship with the gratitude of being alive and the miracle of being alive, you start to experience gratitude, wonder, love more often. It's the same thing that a child has. If a child is born into an environment where its basic needs are being taken care of and it's not being traumatized or abused in any way, the child will be curious about the world and engaging with the world, and it will feel bright about things and to things. And that's what we need to come back to if we haven't already. So rushes of love, gratitude, and wonder will be moving through you. And they are, if you like, the evidence of, I will say, how well you're doing. I don't like saying that because I don't want us to get into human markers of like judgment and scoring ourselves, because I think we have to, one of the biggest diseases we have as humans is self-judgment, and we need to let that go. But I'm called to say, and I'm told to say, that you're doing well. And those moments show you that something has changed inside you, that you're no longer just seeing life as this, oh, I'm in a body, and then I do this, and then I do this, and then I do this, then I die. That's not life. That may be what some people are living, but when you start to open up spiritually, you realize it's way more than that. So more people are coming into that than ever before, but you yourself, there's going to be a very strong energy of love, gratitude, and wonder for lots of you this month. So I hope you enjoy those moments, savor those moments, and when they come, really allow yourself to feel them as much as you can, because the more you do that, the more they start happening more often. Theme number 6, revelations and reckonings around human healing and health. Revelations and reckonings around human healing and health. This is twofold. It's the increasing awareness of incoming advanced technologies that are going to be very beneficial to human health, but it's also revelations about areas that human health is under threat right now from man-made circumstances, experiences, and actions. So this will be a strong focus in the next few months. Between now and February, there's going to be a lot around this playing out in public consciousness. A continual learning is taking place on Earth around how human choices we are living with have been harmful to people's well-being. So the revelations and the reckonings is going to be a public theme over the next 3-4 months. There's already stuff I'm seeing kind of beginning, but apparently there's going to be a real rise around that in the coming months. So look out for that. Theme number 7, trauma, survival, and tragedy energy surfacing for review and release. Now, this may mean outer world traumatic events or events around survival will take place, and or it could mean in your life, you experience some energetic or literal replays around these energies. So the energies of trauma, survival, and tragedy. Now, I know these aren't energies any of us like. These are energies that have a lot of pain and fear and very desperate, deathly energy within them. So it kind of hits people's life force. And in the worst cases, of course, it removes people from the planet. And one of the things that I was curious about this theme when it landed on my page as I was typing, I didn't quite understand what it meant, but what my guides, the Z's, said was, much like you go through the healing of all of these different energy templates on Earth, so if there has been a lot of oppression of a certain group or a certain race or a certain gender of person, we go through these periods where all of that kind of gets amplified and it comes into public focus in a new way. So there will be some public focus around this. I'm clear about. I don't know what it will be. I don't know what it will look like. That's not what I'm given. I just get given the energy. But what I do get for you, because my focus is you, it could mean in your life, you experience some energetic or literal replays around these energies. So trauma, survival, or tragedy energy. Now, if what plays out for you is more metaphoric rather than literal, you know, you maybe have a memory of a trauma or something happens in your life that's not a huge thing, but it does surface some survival instinct or a tragedy energy in your body from the past. It's not that you're in a new tragedy, but it taps on a part of you that's still grieving around a tragedy. Remember, this is going to release fast. We talked about how fast healing is taking place. So try not to be scared of it if it comes up. And by all means, get the support you feel you need to help you through it. But be with it as much as you can, because it will be beneficial. It's trying to dislodge from you. It's not trying to re-traumatize you. It's trying to dislodge. So be with it as much as you can. Okay. Theme number 8, plot twists and stories that help you heal and see clearly. Plot twists and stories that help you heal and see clearly. Unexpected twists in your life, or just a deeper clarity around events you have experienced, will bring healing and an upshift to you. So again, this theme of healing is absolutely massive in November. So it's going to be very interesting to see what plays out for you and for you to observe that in your life. Plot twists and stories that help you heal and see clearly. You know, I've sometimes had the experience in my own life of you have a friend or you have someone in your life and they talk about something, or they're in an experience and you suddenly see it as a mirror of your own life 5 years ago. And you remember the event through them telling you the story and it comes back to you. Sometimes it can be that subtle. It can be someone else is telling you the story of what they're going through and it moves something in you because of resonance. It can be that gentle, but powerful. Powerful when you see it, because you go, oh, wow. Hearing them talk about, you know, for example, the loss of a child has brought me back to my loss of the child. But I'm seeing it in a slightly different way this time because I re-encountered it with them. And I'm seeing that I'm in a different place. It doesn't mean I don't still miss my child. Of course, I will always miss my child. Or I may have developed more of a relationship with my child on the other side. So unexpected twists in your life or a deeper clarity around events you have experienced will bring healing and an upshift to you. Plot twists and stories that help you heal and see clearly. Speaking of the other side, the final theme, theme number 9. I don't normally do 9. And in a way, this is a bonus theme because this has come up a lot in the last year in different ways. Amplification of the mystic. Amplification of the mystic. Mystical experiences, contact with the other side, and contact with those from other dimensions is becoming more normal. You know, I go live in the portal every month for my portal members community, and we do a deep dive for, you know, normally about an hour and 45 minutes. And one of the things I shared in the October live broadcast was this phenomena that more and more people are having. And I've got so many people in my own life who are going through this. I go through this, where the veil is now very thin with people we've lost. People who may have passed over, who are supposed to be part of our guide team or our angelic team, are trying to get our attention. They're trying to talk to us, support us, help us, aid us. And there are so many accounts now of people who've lost partners or family members or dear friends, even pets, and now they are having a relationship with them on the other side. And they're literally feeling the presence of them. This is what I mean about everything's getting faster. Everything's getting more cosmic on Earth. It doesn't mean everyone is going to feel it. It doesn't mean everyone is going to be in it. But it does mean those of us who've been in it for a while, it's ramping up and more people are being initiated into it. So the amplification of mystical experiences. And the truth is, what used to be called mystical will soon be called normal. That's the thing. We're normalizing something that was given a box a long time ago. It's becoming more and more the norm for more people. So pay attention to that. You are not alone if you are going through that right now. You'll be surprised how many people are going through this. It's like when people come up and confess to me that they're a channeler because they know I do this work publicly. So I get all these people come and confess to me that they're channeling to run their business or, you know, improve their life. There are so many people having these experiences. They're just not all talking about it. It's not yet normalized in conversation. So by all means, stay private if you want to stay private. But you may also benefit from connecting with others who are going through the same thing. And there are a lot of them out there. And there are more and more people speaking about it. So that's a great thing. Okay, that is the end of the energy update for November. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Lots of love, everyone. I will see you next month.
Hey,
That's Medicine Power from Oliver Shanti. Now, you've heard about the comet that's coming, or been, or gone, 3i Atlas. Now, Pam Gregory has been telling us all about where it is a few days ago.
Hi, everyone. Given the amount of interest in 3i Atlas, I thought I would just hop on and I hope record what will be a short video for you looking at the astrology of 3i Atlas. And I very much want to thank geophysicist Stephen Burns for providing my good friend Heather Ensworth and myself with the astrological position, the Western Tropical astrological position of 3i Atlas. And as Stephen says, we won't really get another clear reading on its astronomical position until late November, when it emerges from the glare of the sun, because for as long as it's within the glare of the sun, it's like looking into a car headlights. We can't get a clear read. And of course, because this is such a unique and unprecedented event, we don't have it in our regular ephemeris or software packages. So big shout out and thanks to Stefan for that and for sharing it with us. Now, both Stefan and Heather have done really excellent videos looking at this, and but each of us as astrologers are going to be adding our personal flavour to it. So I think this video will share different information, and take your pick or accept all of them wherever you're at. So it is a very powerful chart. I personally don't, as I've mentioned before, think it's a comet. I don't even think it's a craft, really. I believe it's something energetic. I believe it carries very high intelligence and higher consciousness. It's a consciousness being of some kind. And Kelly Kolodny's wonderful channeling with Archangel Raphael has really reinforced that. And we had a fabulous conversation a short time ago. And Archangel Raphael was really talking about 3i Atlas seeding this new galactic consciousness that Raphael has talked so consistently about, that is going to be birthed at the Capricorn solstice. So it's immensely exciting. You know, if that's the case, we are in the thick of the chrysalis right now, and it is immensely exciting. But, and then I'll share some insights, astrological perspectives on what I think this is all about. I'm going to try and stick broadly to the position of 3i Atlas and the aspects it is making in this chart, because of course we have the new moon on the 21st of October, and then we have another full moon coming up on the 5th of November. So this is in between those. And but it's very interesting in itself. So, okay, so this is set for the 29th of October. And according to Stefan, this is happening at 11:55, just round about noon GMT. And this is based on England. So ignore the clock face, because that's specific to England. Well, that Britain, just look at the signs where the planets fall and their aspects to each other. So we see 3i Atlas here at 22 degrees, 45 minutes of Libra. Okay, so it's conjunct Venus here. And the first thing we notice is that it's in a very strong T-square. In fact, it's almost a cardinal grand cross, because it is conjunct Venus, which we'll talk about in a moment, square to Jupiter at 24 of Cancer, tightly opposing Chiron and Eris, 24-25 of Aries. It's this corner is slightly, well, it's out of sign, but if Pluto was still backed up into Capricorn in the final few degrees, you could see it would be a cardinal grand cross. So we can just about allow Pluto being the rather squiffy fourth corner of a cardinal grand cross. Remember that we give the designation of cardinal according to the dominant three corners, let's say. That's the easiest way to express it. So let me start first of all with the opposition here, because the opposition between 3i Atlas and Chiron and Eris is very tight. Now, I've talked previously often about Chiron being the wounded healer, the wound being in the I am, so it's very much linked to victim consciousness, which I think many of us have lived through in this lifetime, in fact, many lifetimes. And Eris is the sister of Mars, the warrior sister of Mars, very feisty energy, wasn't invited to the wedding at Mount Olympus, turned up anyway and created mayhem. She stands for truth, honesty, justice, total social inclusion, nobody excluded. And I've talked, I think I talked in the last update, about how both Chiron and Eris actually represent mavericks. They are mavericks in the system. They're the ones that don't fit. Chiron, partly because it's in an orbit in between Saturn and Uranus, and there's a sense of the outsider. Equally, that is true very much in the mythology of Eris, very much. And also, Eris has a 560-year orbit and has an extreme inclination to the ecliptic of 44 degrees. It really is the maverick. And so is 3i Atlas. I mean, what a maverick. We don't know what it is, where it's come from. Archangel Raphael says it's billions of years old. This slingshot from eternity, we have no idea of its source. I do believe it's deeply purposeful, actually. But quite extraordinary that it's tightly inclined to the ecliptic within 5 degrees, as is Comet Swan, which is going to be closest to the Earth on the 21st of October. You know, we have a very intense period here. So it's very interesting that the three mavericks, let's call them, 3i Atlas, Chiron, and Eris, are so tightly geometrically connected. Because in our society, the people who bring in the new ideas are not the people who are in the mainstream. It's the mavericks, the trailblazers, the pioneers, the outsiders, the rule breakers. They're the people who bring in the new ideas to society. And so I think that's a big, big theme here of what this is about. Breaking old patterns, pattern interrupt. So, and as I say, Archangel Raphael talks about 3i Atlas as the seeding of this new galactic consciousness, which is so exciting. Now, that opposition is squared by Jupiter. Jupiter, very happy in Cancer, exalted to do with self-care, nurturing, care for self, but also care for others, instinctively understanding what people need to feel nurtured and included. There's a motherly feeling about this. It's like a mother hen, that everybody needs to be taken care of. However, because Jupiter expands anything it touches, it is going to expand everything I've just said about that opposition. It's going to expand the previous sense of victimhood and exclusion and not fitting and being different. But it's also, as fertilizer with that, is going to expand the incredible potential for what I believe 3 Atlas is all about, which is this seeding of a much higher consciousness. And if we were just about to include Pluto, the moon is too wide here, but just about to include Pluto and Jupiter, well, together in combination, they're very much about leadership, actually. And so you could say that Pluto in Aquarius, and I believe this profoundly, is about a new kind of leadership. Leadership which is based on equability, on more horizontal socio-political structure, on freedom. Go back to the videos I was making in 2023 about Pluto moving into Aquarius. I was talking about human rights, civil rights, etc. And the other side of that, of course, is increasing digitization. But so this can potentially give us a big future vision of a different kind of leadership going forwards that involves the people, the moon. And remember, Pluto is out of bounds to the south until November the 23rd. And I've talked a great deal about that as being more revolutionary behavior from the people. And that's exactly what you're seeing here. This is also great intensity being felt by the people around issues of freedom, human rights, civil rights, etc. So this opposition between Jupiter and Pluto can actually go one way or the other. It can go towards greater control from the top, because Pluto can also represent state control and increasing technology, which we can see in Aquarius here, or, depending on where humanity is at and where their focus and choices lie, it can go towards a very different visionary future. And there's so much to say here, because Jupiter is actually in this trine. It's actually a grand trine, an equilateral triangle here, which is very fortuitous. So Jupiter trine to Neptune is about the big dream for the future, the bigger horizon, the more idealistic, more idealistic social structure. I'm thinking of Saturn here. Saturn is to do with pragmatism and what's realistic and building for the long term. So Saturn is actually very helpful in this. It isn't just pie in the sky with ideas. And this is very mystical as well. Jupiter, Neptune, very mystical. And it's also connecting here to Mars. So it's Mars, Jupiter, Saturn principally, but also including Neptune in this grand trine. So Mars in Scorpio gives tremendous focus, kind of laser beam focus, commitment, dedication. Scorpio is a very spiritual sign along with Pisces. Jupiter was the ancient ruler of Pisces. So we have a sense of tremendous focus, energy, dedication, care for others, that is more idealistic, that's more inclusive, that's more realistic, building for the long term where everyone is cared for. That grand trine has the potential for that. 3i Atlas is also conjunct, by the way, it's also conjunct the fixed star constellation of Arcturus, which is at 24 degrees of Libra. And Arcturus, I mean, the Arcturians give us so much in terms of higher intelligence, but Arcturus is really seen as the gateway to higher consciousness. The gateway to higher consciousness. Isn't that interesting that 3i Atlas currently, or on October 29th, will be conjunct Arcturus. It's also conjunct Venus here, very happy in its own sign of Libra, its sign of rulership, which is really beautiful. And what's interesting as well is 3i Atlas will be at its closest point to Venus on the 3rd of November, just a few days from now. And Venus in Libra is again, it's inclusive, it's a love for all, it's concern for all. And its love is expressing in a very harmonious way and a very balanced way. And I also feel, actually, that it will bring in much greater love for each other. I think as 3i Atlas passes each planet, it will positively amplify the archetypal symbolism of that planet. That's what I feel. Also, we have the sun here at this point, conjunct Homer. I mean, beautiful at this point of perihelion, because perihelion means that 3i Atlas is at its closest point to the sun on the 29th of October. And so the sun here is, in fact, it's very interesting. It's conjunct Homer. Homer is very much about regeneration, as you know from its mythology. It's about rebirth. In its mythology, it was said to, in its fire goddess expression, birth the eight islands of Hawaii. I think we could see more seismic activity around this time. And it's one of the big, big symbols we have for New Earth. And Alan Clay believes that Homer is the symbol for unity consciousness, the dwarf planet that represents unity consciousness. So it's tightly conjunct the sun here, and also you could just about include it in an out of sign conjunction to 3i Atlas, but principally it's conjunct the sun. So it's also about community, 3i Atlas, because another aspect of its mythology, which I've mentioned in the past, is about how the community came together against the autocratic leader who was going to put Homer's partner to death for taking some wild bananas from the land. And so it brings in community, as does this Aquarian energy of Moon, Pluto. I think the way forwards as we move into 2026 is very much going to be about community. That will be the shift from each of us kind of being boxed up in our individual homes or in our family units to come together as families of frequency in your soul tribe, if you like, to start to form a very different society, which is much more loving and inclusive. And our values will change very significantly. Our values, I think, are going to be much more about love and sharing, Venus in Libra, rather than how much money in your bank account. That will just become less and less important. Now, we also have, very importantly, Uranus in an exact 20 minutes from exactitude, in exact opposition to Mercury. I think this is very interesting indeed, because when you have any aspect, particularly a hard aspect between Uranus and Mercury, and remember that Uranus is the higher octave of Mercury, it's to do with higher mind, it's to do with the outsider, it's to do with the galactic. It can bring in brilliant new ideas, out-of-the-box solutions. It's revolutionary. It's visionary. It's futuristic. It's about awakening. It's about truth. It's about clarity. It's that kind of spark of absolute piercing clarity about where our future is going, what the truth is, perhaps clarity on the past, but also where we're going. Because Uranus, along with Jupiter, they're both planets linked to truth and the future. And Jupiter rules Sagittarius, which is very much about, the future vision. And Jupiter is also in trine to Mercury, in an out-of-sign trine. Uranus is conjunct the Pleiades, the seven sisters, and the Pleiades are typically all about love. They are at 29 degrees of Pisces, which on the 8th of November, Uranus is going to retrograde back into Taurus. So 29 degrees of Taurus, that's where the Pleiades are. Within a 2-degree orb, any planet is activated there. All about love, all about divine feminine and feminine wisdom. So very beautiful. And somebody commenting, I don't know their names to credit them, but they commented on my previous update that within the constellation of the Pleiades, one of the stars is Atlas, who is the father of the seven sisters in the Pleiades constellation. And that's really kind of quite strange. And I can't quite get the meaning of that link between 3i Atlas and Uranus being conjunct Atlas in the Pleiades. But there's something here about ignition. because Uranus is all about ignition, conjunct Sedna, igniting our metamorphosis, which I think is a biological as well as a energetic and galactic metamorphosis. We are right in the mush of the chrysalis. So really fascinating. And I think those are the main things I want to say about the chart, because I'm going to be doing another update on the first half of November in the next few days. So I'll stop sharing here. And remember that 3i Atlas comes closest to the Earth on the 19th of December, right on that Capricorn solstice. It then becomes closest to Jupiter on the 16th of March, very close to the Aries equinox in March. And that is also, and also Stefan Burns, thank you again, Stefan, reminded us that the cavalry of comets that accompany 3i Atlas are going to start to exit our solar system about the middle of next year. So they're coming in with 3i Atlas, and I understand to have these six comets is extremely unusual all at the same time, and certainly the same time as 3i Atlas. They really do feel like a cosmic cavalry. And soon after 3i Atlas exits our solar system to who knows where, will it ever come back? You know, we have no idea. It doesn't seem to be on any kind of orbit. That is closely after that can be followed by the exit of the six comets. And we really don't understand the meaning of this whole period of time. But for sure, as I have been saying repeatedly, I believe this is the absolute pivot point for humanity's consciousness. That's been prophesied by the ancient peoples for many, many thousands of years. And these next 3 months, I think, are going to be extremely activating in that kind of breakdown of the old. And that will continue a little bit into 2026. And then there's this kind of fresh, lighter, new energy that starts to emerge kind of April, May, going into the middle of the year. But I'll be talking more about that in later videos. Yes, really fascinating. When I was filming videos for Pluto moving into Aquarius, I also talked about every time Pluto moves into Aquarius, it is a paradigm-shattering time during that transit. Now, Pluto is going to stay in Aquarius until January 2044. You know, we've almost got another 20 years to go, 19 years to go. But I think we are absolutely in paradigm-shattering times. And I did expect, because of the difference in the feel of energy between 2025 and 2026, that it wasn't going to be linear or logical, our human progression. It was going to be some kind of a catalyst or a game changer or something that was paradigm shattering. But I didn't know what it was. Just the rapid shift in energy suggested to me there was going to be, something that would signify a leap in our consciousness. Now, many people that I'm speaking to right now, many of them you know well, you know, Kelly Kolodny with Archangel Raphael, Dr. David Clements, Nancy Rebecca, Anne Tucker, you know, many others, and also Richard Rudd, Lee Harris, talking about the new human future, many people I'm speaking to, and other people I'm speaking to offline as well. They all feel that this is some kind of a game changer in terms of our consciousness. So I'm not alone in this. I do believe that this will increase our psychic sensitivity, activate our third eye and our heart chakra. And I've had my own particular, very specific, crystal clear and really quite dramatic experiences of that in bright green. But anyway, more of that another time. Now, I do think, as I say, this could bring some geological disruption and it's all part of Gaia's rebirth, but it's a process we have to go through, like labor pains, to end up with something really beautiful and amazing at the other end. So, and really do remember what I've talked about in many, many videos about when I was doing that basic martial arts course and I was taught to split the builder's plank. And the whole idea was you didn't focus on the obstacle, the builder's plank, you focused on where you wanted your hand to get to, 6 inches below the builder's plank. And that, you know, that's such a great guide in life in general, but particularly with 3i Atlas, really focus on the result that you would love to see from 3i Atlas. Because, yes, most certainly all of this is happening out there in the cosmos, but remember the hermetic principle of as above, so below, the macrocosm and the microcosm. Anything that happens out there is also happening within us. Every time I look at a birth chart, yes, it's a map of the out there, but it's also a map of the in here, of that person's psyche, whoever they are at that moment of birth, which is why I can read a birth chart and suss where people may be at and help them with their self-understanding. So yes, it's an out there, but it's an in here in the same moment. That's exactly what we're going through right now with 3i Atlas. It isn't just an out there, it's an inside job. And be aware of the changes that it's creating in you. You know, are we becoming more crystalline now? Are we becoming more akin to the light body? Because I do think this is happening quite rapidly. I do think we are becoming more loving and more caring for each other as a result of this. I truly do. You know, the particular experience this that I've had even in the last few days have really signaled that to me. And and this may be very hard for us to get our heads around, but it's just an idea I want to float, which sounds like an incredibly simple idea, but actually I think it is profound. And I'm going to be having a conversation with a very interesting lady next week about exactly this question, which is there even an objective reality at all, or is everything a subjective reality? Is everything a subjective reality? Depending on your focus, where you put your focus, depending on your choice, Gemini, Uranus in Gemini, super important as we go through these times, and depending on your frequency. Because just like being tuned into a channel on the radio, we can only hear the music of the channel we're tuned to. If we're tuned to hard rock, we'll only hear hard rock. We won't hear classical. If we're tuned to classical, we'll only hear classical. We won't hear hard rock. But all of those channels are there. And so our subjective experience is down to our lens, the lens with which we see the world and the frequency we are on, and also our expectation in living through that lens. Because if we could really, and, you know, this kind of falls out of my ears at times, so I'm not sitting here as a, you know, paragon of virtue on this, but I do think if we could really grasp that, and it's something I'm digging into more in my research, that is a total game changer, paradigm shattering thought of how we live our lives. That is utterly empowering. That is total sovereignty, isn't it? So let me just leave you with that that thought to mull around, and I'll be back very soon, as I say, in the next few days with the next update looking at November, just a few days after this. God bless. I hope that's helped you. Bye for now.
May you be peaceful and happy. May you be healthy and strong. May you be free from fear, filled with love. We can be peaceful and happy. We can be healthy and strong. We can be free from fear, filled with love. Peace is what our planet needs. Peace that plants a gentle seed of love and truth in word and deed, overcoming fear and greed. Peace is what our planet needs. Peace that plants a gentle seed of love and truth.
Great words from Lily Fraser, be peaceful and happy. Now, this is Alan Watts.
Why is it that we don't seem to be able to adjust ourselves to the physical environment without destroying it? Why is it that in a way this culture represents in a unique fashion the law of diminishing returns, that our success is a failure, that we are building up, in other words, an enormous technological civilization which seems to promise the fulfillment of every wish almost at the touch of a button. And yet, as in so many fairy tales, when the wishes finally materialize, they're like fairy gold. They're not really material at all. In other words, so many of our products, our cars, our homes, our clothing, our food, it looks as if it were really the instant creation of pure thought. That is to say, it's thoroughly insubstantial, lacking in what the connoisseur of wine calls body. And in so many other ways, the riches that we produce are ephemeral. And as a result of that, we're frustrated. We're terribly frustrated. We feel that the only thing is to go on getting more and more. And as a result of that, the whole landscape begins to look like the nursery of a spoiled child who's got too many toys and is bored with them and throws them away as fast as he gets them, plays them for a few minutes. Also, we're dedicated to a tremendous war on the material, the basic material dimensions of time and space. We want to obliterate their limitations. We want to get everything done as fast as possible. We want to convert the rhythms and the skills of work into cash, which indeed you can buy something with, but you can't eat it. And then rush home to get away from work and begin the real business of life, to enjoy ourselves. You know, for the vast majority of American families, what seems to be the real point of life, what you rush home to get to, is to watch an electronic reproduction of life
You can't touch it. It doesn't smell, and it has no taste. You might think that people getting home to the real point of life in a robust material culture would go home to a colossal banquet, or an orgy of lovemaking, or a riot of music and dancing. But nothing of the kind. It turns out to be this purely passive contemplation of a twittering screen. You see mile after mile of darkened houses with that little electronic screen flickering in the room. Everybody isolated, watching this thing. And thus in no real communion with each other at all. And this isolation of people into a private world of their own is really the creation of a mindless crowd. And so, we don't get with each other, except for public expressions of getting rid of our hostility, like football or prize fighting. And even in the spectacles one sees on this television, it's perfectly proper to exhibit people slugging and slaying each other, but oh dear no, not people loving each other, except in a rather restrained way. One can only draw the conclusion that the assumption underlying this is that expressions of physical love are far more dangerous than expressions of physical hatred. And it seems to me that a culture that has that sort of assumption is basically crazy and devoted. Unintentionally, indeed, but nevertheless, in fact, devoted not to survival, but to the actual destruction of life.
What's happening down at Infinity Spiritual Centre? Tonight is the last of our three meditation evenings, so 6 o'clock, come along Koha, and then look forward to Black Friday coming soon at Infinity Spiritual Centre, 550 Anglesey Street. I am Barry, it's been the Voice Within. Kakite, Shalom, Namaste, Masalam. May your God go with you.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.